conference committee meeting on committee substitute for House Bill number 67 Judiciary. Senators Taylor, Ellis, present. House members Kutula, Murkowski, and House Chair Rookberg. We are in order.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There is a conference committee, a conference CS for House Bill 67 in your file, the B version.
Do we adopt it?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we adopt the B version of the conference CS for House Bill 67.
Object for purposes of.
Well, now that's 01-07-B. Mr. Chairman, what this does is places a new Section 2 in the bill, removing the one that was in the Senate version. The memorandums in the file, the two of which from Mr. Luckup, indicate that there is difficulties regarding the unclassified felonies of 1141-410 and 1141-434, which are unclassified felonies and were in the subsection 1 of the Senate version, is in conflict with the subsection 3 of the Senate version because the existing statute in 1230-040-B indicates that a person may not be released on bail before sentencing or appeal for unclassified felony. And the sub 3 includes that, so they're at odds with each other. So it's a technical peculiarity that demands cleanup. In addition, there's a memorandum from Ms. Luckup says, well, while the provisions for considering the sentencing period of a greater period than the term of the imprisonment is likely to be sentenced or served, or in the Senate version, is not unconstitutional per se, in his opinion, it was awkward, and he had some other unkind things to say. So, Mr. Chairman, I suggest to the committee that the new subsection required before granting bail, a person convicted of an offense under the listed offenses, the court shall consider requiring the person to participate in electronic monitoring program as a condition of release. They should, I think it. Demands that they look at it. I don't think it demands that they do it.
One question I had is that on page 1 of the CS under line 11B, it says the court may impose any of the following conditions on a person charged with an offense, and it lists the same section, 1141-410, which you've now deleted from the granting bail provisions, and that section is a complete rewrite of the existing law, which was your original bill, basically.
Right.
Now, if it was in error, you would have included section 41.410 because that person is not allowed to have bail, then why do we have it included on the first page and in section 1?
I think I understand your question, Mr. Chairman. I'm not sure I have the answer. Those were the
Maybe I can answer it myself. Okay. Section 1 is released before trial.
Right.
And so we wrestled with that issue several times.
That's correct. That is correct.
I don't think we found a way to prevent people from being released
right.
before trial.
That was correct.
You have to wait for that that inconsequential thing called conviction.
Mr. Chairman, in the refresh memory, the instant case that brought this to my attention was a situation where the alleged violator actually pleaded nolo at his arraignment and then they released him. So it was ended up in the middle there. Yeah, so all of a sudden he went from alleged to convicted by his own admission under a nolo plea. So.
Mm-hmm. I think I remember why 410 isn't in the second section. It's because isn't that our section that's the mandatory no
yes.
release?
Yeah, that's what we were talking about earlier.
Right. He was referring to the first section.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
But
right.
On the first section, he hasn't been convicted yet.
Right, exactly.
So, Mr. Chairman,
what about the
Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
Are there comments from corrections or the courts?
Mr. Chairman, I might. I see the courts are here. I did talk to Candace Bauer of the corrections. She volunteered to be here, but I thought I'd just I could just, for the record, review their points. They had 2 points of concern about this, that utilizing electronic monitoring may may create an unlevel applicability because the service of that type of monitoring wasn't available in certain areas of the state. And I think that's all well and good, but I think it's a function of the legislature's desire to expand that service where it's applicable. It's been used in service by private sector people, and it's a newer program that we're late coming to the table on that, but it is growing. So I think this is, I think that concern is a kind of a practical concern that will be ameliorated over time. And the second one was that their current policy is they don't release high-risk offenders with electronic monitoring. But my rejoinder to that is, if we don't give the courts this power to do so, they would be released without, but the other custodial provisions in the statute. But I think this actually helps monitor their activities rather than hinder it when they would be released otherwise. So I don't think that argument does anything. I think the good thing here is that this expands by legislative policy call the electronic monitoring program, which I think is a good thing. And frankly, I've been a member of the budget subcommittee in the House for 6 years, and it's been kind of like pulling teeth to get corrections to adopt this program, which is working out.
So that's the corrections viewpoint? And
right. I think it's a fair representation of what my conversations were this morning with corrections, and because we didn't notify them. The amendment.
Does the courts have any comment?
Doug Rolliver, administrative attorney for the Alaska State Court System. I was faxed a copy of the proposed language you were talking about yesterday afternoon, and the court has no trouble with it either, other than just as Representative Roper pointed out, that it isn't available in all areas of the state, but we certainly have no problems with the amendment.
Is it available in Southeast?
I checked yesterday with Justice Carpinetti just to see, and to his knowledge, he didn't think that it was at this point, but he wasn't certain. I could check again to see if it is.
Well, interestingly, I know of one gentleman, and there may have been more, convicted under the federal system, who had an ankle bracelet on in Petersburg for about 7-8 months, and it seemed to work very well in Petersburg. And why the feds can do it in a community that small and remote, but we cannot, I don't know. It seems to me that satellite covers the earth, so to speak, and or a good portion of it. And really, if you told somebody they had to stay at their house or within a 1 mile radius of it or something, it'd be a very simple thing to monitor. And this thing is apparently done through contract with private enterprise. It's not actually done through the police department. They just receive an automatic alert if the person wanders outside of that area. I know they've got those little beeper things stuck in all kinds of cars now. And so if a rental car gets lost, they just throw a switch and it starts beeping and they find out where it's at. So I don't understand why it might not be applicable statewide if the same satellite works in Anchorage. Why doesn't it work in Kotzebue, Ketchikan, and so on?
Didn't Ms. Bowers mention Juneau? I thought she did. Perhaps not. Okay.
Well, whatever. At least we know that this amendment relieves a major portion of the fiscal note that I think the House was concerned about.
Just for the record, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Warwick, the new section there, before granting bail, a person convicted of the offenses, the court shall consider requiring the person to participate. Is my interpretation correct where they shall consider it, but they don't, by the language draft, they don't have to do that?
Through the chair, that's how I would read that.
Okay, thank you. I just want to add that on there.
He'll probably just say on the record that he has considered it.
Right.
So as to avoid anyone complaining later. Anything further? Lori, did you wish to testify on this?
Just for the record, my name is Lori Hugan, and I'm the director of the Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. Just because you were talking about wanting to make sure you're not making it easier to release people, can the courts already consider whether or not to give electronic monitoring? The reason why I'm asking is because on page 2 on line 19 and 20, it says, if the determination is made that they, for one or more conditions of release, if it wouldn't assure that they would pose a danger to the victim, they can be remanded to custody. I'm wondering if giving this opportunity to have electronic monitoring wouldn't say to folks, well, they can safely be released because we're going to have this monitor on them. So would it be more likely that they would be released instead of less likely because of the monitoring? And I'm asking that because I noticed that, for example, 1141.420 is sexual assault in the second degree. That's a Class B felony, and it is a very serious crime. So we would want that person perhaps to stay in jail instead of having this opportunity to be released. That would be my only concern, that if they aren't already able to offer the electronic monitoring, and we're putting in statute that now they have to consider it, if that in fact wouldn't release more people than keep more people in jail. Sorry for only 10 minutes of looking at it if that's not clearly articulated.
Mr. Chairman, I can't. I think it's a very good question, but I really can't speculate as to what the results would be. I think it just points out what a difficult job a judge has when they look at the various alternatives and the fact pattern in each case.
Well, let me put it this way, Lori. Right now, we know that they are releasing people under that condition.
Okay.
What this bill was intended to do was to tighten up those categories of crimes and conditions of release so that there would be more people serving, not less, and they would be serving time earlier. We added the provision on the Senate side, which had been part of the original bill, and that engendered a fiscal note from Corrections. The only way I believe it could render an honest fiscal note from Corrections is if they actually believed they were going to have more people in their custody, so to speak. So as a consequence, what we have tried to find here is a middle ground somewhere between the manner in which they were releasing people in the past and hopefully the way they would release people in the future. And I think what you're actually going to have here is some of those people may still be released, but they'll only be released if they've got an electronic monitoring device on them, where prior to this law, those people probably would have been released without electronic monitoring. They would have been released to third-party custody or some other arrangement that's very difficult to enforce. So I think in the overall, at least it's certainly my intent, that in the overall, that this will enhance the level of surveillance and monitoring, and at the same time, in those areas where it's maybe not available, it's going to result in those people remaining incarceration because they don't have that option. That's the best explanation I can give you.
Well, thank you for letting me speak. Since I noticed that, I didn't want you to inadvertently be letting more people out because now they have this other option.
Well, I think we're actually putting more people in or putting them either in or into a program that's more secure than what we ever had before.
Yes.
Beth is tinkering.
I'm not tinkering. I just wanted to see what the class... Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was taking a quick peek on the classes because I agree with you. I mean, one other thought was we could exclude the Class B felonies, but they're rarely going to be released anyway.
Mr. Chairman, to put something down there to effectuate Ms. Hugan's concern would be a little bit gratuitous, wouldn't it? I mean, if you gave directions to the court here and the statute, don't let them out if you weren't going to let them out anyway.
Well, in essence, you've done that.
Yeah.
all of this is just directions to the court, and it required in this last provision, we actually had it, I thought, tighter before, except for the glitch that was in there, but we've actually had it loosen up a little bit by allowing electronic monitoring, where that might not have been an opportunity before. Well, we only had free power, our conference only had powers of free conference on sections 2 and 3, I believe, on our side. So.
Oh.
Any further discussion? Any further comments anybody wants to make? Care to entertain a motion, I guess.
Mr. Chair, I would move that we adopt the conference CS for House Bill number 67.
That's V, the lockup.
V is in Victor.
00. Is there any objection to the adoption? We've already adopted. Is there any objection to moving that from committee with individual recommendations? So be it. We shall present that to the floor of the Senate. Your behalf.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate your efforts and your time.
It's been a good project. Did we get new fiscal notes for the Senate?
Sorry, Beth. I should have given you my chit sheet.
You have it.
I knew you were going to ask.
I trust Janet and you.
I need to sign fast. I've got a 10:30.
Here. Well, we need to decide which fiscal note we're going to send along with it.
And I will leave that to you. You have my signature.
What was it? Are they both indeterminate, Jen?
It's just the House had two fiscal notes from two different departments that were both indeterminate. The Senate only had one fiscal note.
Which one did they not have?
Did I sign the right one? Thank
you. The House had a fiscal note from Public Defender and Corrections.
That's going to be good.
The Senate only had the fiscal note from.
Well, they were all indeterminate.
Corrections.
They were all indeterminate.
Are they
not yet.
Both the House and the Senate, Mr. Chairman, had a correction that were indeterminate. The House also had a public defender fiscal note that was indeterminate.
Hmm. And the Senate only adopted
the one, the corrections.
The corrections fiscal note. We have any objection to doing that?
No. No.
Okay. We'll recommend that we adopt the Senate corrections fiscal note, which is indeterminate. Well, I needed to sign that. Moving everybody else here.